Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey.
And here we go, a playoff-sized episode of Odd Man Rush. I'm Will Island. Kyle Diesel joined me remotely from his apartment in the Commonwealth. Hope you're all having a great week wherever you may be listening to us. It is the last week of the NHL regular season. We haven't talked in about a month, so a lot of water has gone under the bridge. But in that time frame, we've gotten a better look at who will be in the playoffs. In fact, all the teams have been determined. It's just a few matters of seeding out west that we'll talk about in a moment. But we have the whole playoffs to look forward to. And Kyle, it is something that I love. I've grown accustomed to in my sports fan life. Here being a Bruins fan, something I don't take for granted. In my opinion, it's the best playoff tournament despite its flaws in all of pro sports in North America. So I'm a huge fan. I'm excited that we're getting ready to drop the puck on another iteration of the finals. Do you share my excitement?
I do share your excitement. It's great to see the team's getting ready for playoffs. I mean, look at all the players who are just coming back off the long IR for most of these teams. It's going to be a very fun playoff. I think the first round might be one of the most fun first rounds we've had in a while for most matchups. Not all of them, but for most matchups so far, I think this will be a good fighting first round, especially with how the regular season has gone so far.
Definitely. I agree. And we'll get to the Atlantic Division last. I'll save my Bruins bias for the end. But I think top to bottom, east to west, Metro, Atlantic, Central, Pacific, no matter what you're talking about, each matchup or potential matchup in the case of the West has an iteration of excitement to it. And I think that there are possibilities for upsets all over the place, if you can even call them upsets. And I think there are situations where you could easily see a sweep happening, but you could also easily see a 7-game series happening. And I think that's the beauty of it, and one of the reasons why, as we both noted, we enjoy it. But where I want to start with you all, Kyle, and I will admit I'm almost as unprepared as Sean McVay in Super Bowl 53 when it comes to my notes. I don't have as much written down as I wanted to about the West in particular. But I think we should start out there, because that's still a little bit up in the air as we record here on Wednesday night. I wanted to get this out so that people could listen to it before Saturday. So that's why we're recording Wednesday and it's coming out Thursday. Wanted everyone to get the opportunity. But because of that, there are still some things that are left unsaid or undetermined. So out west, we have a situation where right now the LA Kings are the second wild card. They have 97 points. The Nashville Predators are the first wild card with 99 points. So Nashville holds the regulation overtime win tiebreaker over the Kings. But the Kings could still end up playing either the Canucks or the Stars. Meanwhile, the Predators would play the other. And what's interesting about this is usually there's not a crossover in the wild cards. For some reason, it ends up being that the division winner typically ends up playing the fourth in their own division. Just for some reason, that's how it usually shakes out. There's a couple of years ago where Carolina and the Bruins played and there was a crossover there. But in this situation, it's possible that Nashville could play the Canucks and the Kings could play the Stars. Rather than ask you about four potential matchups, I'll just ask you generally, what do you make of the Predators and the Kings in their matchups potentially against the division winners?
I mean, just how the seasons go, Nashville's gotten hot. I think they have a good chance to make a push, especially out west. I think the West is probably the most competitive of the two, at least trying to get to the Stanley Cup, I would say right now. But I don't think either Nashville or the Kings right now could compete with the Canucks or Dallas in a best of seven series. Not saying they can't win a game. I just don't think they're quite there yet. Like, Nashville is still, I think, is still a little too young. Haven't really made much impact in the playoffs in the last few years, at least like the last 3 or 4 years. And the Kings, they can do anything they want. It's all about how their goaltender plays and how well that team continues to mesh. But like I said, right now, Dallas, they've got the depth. They've got the firepower. Same with Vancouver, they got the depth. They got the firepower. And we saw that last year. If you got depth on your team and you got hot goaltending, those are the teams that are going to carry you the most. Nashville has a great goaltender right now that could carry them, but I don't know if they've got enough firepower to back it up in depth on that team to help carry them past the first round against those two high-powered teams.
Yeah, I agree when it comes to depth. I think Nashville is – I would actually say that in some regards they're kind of old. I think they're young on defense, but I think their top line is Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, and Gus Nyquist. I mean, those guys are all sort of on the back side of their career, and those are – I mean – I would actually, maybe not Forsberg. He's still in his prime. But, you know, the Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist are clearly, their best days are behind them. But I agree with you on depth. There is a little bit of a talent drop-off with Nashville once you get down to their third and fourth line, for sure. Their top defensive pairing is really strong with Josi and McDonough. But beyond that, I don't love their defense. I do like Saros in net, but, you know, if they end up playing Dallas, a team that they're familiar with, it could end up being a series that is all about goaltending with Ottinger on the other side. But if they end up playing Vancouver, you're also looking at another situation where if Demko's healthy, there's going to be a lot of talk about goaltending in that series. But I tend to agree that Vancouver or Dallas are better teams top to bottom than Nashville. And then when it comes to the Kings are a confusing team because they're sort of in a similar boat as the Predators. They have veteran people on their top, like O'Reilly has won a cup, Kopitar has won a couple. And then they sort of have a talent drop off toward the bottom. Pierre-Luc Dubois has not been what they wanted, and their Drew Doughty is old, and their goaltending, I don't really believe in Cam Talbot or Rittich. I think Talbot's probably going to play a lot. He had a great start to the year, but I don't think either one of these teams are going to be favorites. Of course, that's obvious. They're playing the division winners. But no matter who they end up playing, I tend to like Dallas and Vancouver to advance. My other question for you about the West is, no matter what those matchups are, do you think that Edmonton and Vegas will live up to the hype? Because obviously, let me just set the stage for a little bit. And then yes, jump in. But you have the defending cup champs. You have Jack Eichel, drafted number 2 in 2015. And you have Connor McDavid, drafted number 1 in 2015. But Eichel has won a cup. Meanwhile, McDavid's been, you know, unanimously the best player in the league and hasn't won anything yet, except individual awards. But do you see that matchup, as it's pretty much stands today, going to be? Do you see that living up to the hype?
I think so. I mean, depending on how healthy the Knights, their players come back. They had a few on injured reserve and they're just getting back. I mean, I think this matchup might be the best matchup right now in the West round one. I think this is the best matchup. Connor McDavid getting 100 assists. Only four other players have gotten that, and he's one of them. Yeah. So, like, he's not even scoring goals this year. He just open up the ice for their players. And then Vegas Knights, they won the Stanley Cup last year, like you just talked about. And I think right now, if you're looking at it, I think Edmonton has a slight advantage over goaltending. They have the hotter goaltender right now going into it. But the Knights have depth. They have the experience. And we saw last year's playoffs when they played each other in the series. It was phenomenal. So much physicality. These teams are ready to play. And this is the round one matchup like we were hoping to see till the second round. But we're getting it early. So I think this round is going to live up to the hype. But I do give the advantage to, unfortunately, I gave it to the Vegas Knights. I just don't think Edmonton's going to have they might have the depth to make it all the way through because they'll be fresh going into round one versus the second round if they had to play them, or the third round. But I just think the Knights just have too much depth from lines one through four for Edmonton to have a chance. They're going to rely too much on their front two lines, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at Edmonton. They are very top heavy. Evander Kane's day to day. We'll see how well he will fit back in to the lineup. I think this is weird, and you know I don't stay up till 1 a.m. and watch a lot of West Coast hockey games. But one thing I've noticed about Edmonton is this year it seems like they were always trailing everyone in the games played column. And usually you don't really pay attention to that. But what that means to me is they've still played 80 games. I believe they're still playing tomorrow. They might even play tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're playing tonight and tomorrow to end the year. So
yes, they got two remaining.
Right. And so they're going to play tonight, tomorrow, and then probably Sunday. They're going to have maybe Monday. They're going to have a lot of ice under their belts in the last month or so to catch up to 82 with the rest of the league. And they're also going to be facing immense pressure. Like they always have. You know, number one, you're going against the defending cup champs for a second straight year. You're playing them in the playoffs. This time it's in the first round, as you pointed out. Second, you have a situation where you're the home team as the two seed in that division, but you're probably not going to be the favorite in terms of what people are predicting. I think a lot of people are predicting Vegas to get hot again in the spring. And so there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Oilers. And I'm not sure they're up to the task. I'm really not sure they are. And I'm not saying like talent wise, I think they clearly have it. They have the best player in the world. But, you know, that can only get you so far, you know, and like Draisaitl is probably the fourth or fifth best player in the world. And you still got Kane and others, but it just seems like Vegas, as we've talked all along, all season long, is so deep. They're so tough. They're well coached.
They also made the better, more moves and probably the most impactful moves before the trade deadline, before Edmonton or most of the teams in the Western Conference, besides maybe Dallas.
Yeah.
And Vancouver. That'd probably be it. But it just brings up the concern like you just had. Like, how many more times can you give excuses to like Edmonton or like Robert Davis doing all he can? Like, how many times do we give them these players? I don't want to say excuses, but like, we might be going through a time in our life where we're going to see some of these best all time talents just never, unfortunately, win. Right. Which is sad.
Right. I mean, Connor McDavid's going to win an Olympic gold medal in 2 years. That's great. But there's nothing compared to the Stanley Cup. Just ask Sidney Crosby. Actually, you know, if you ask Sidney Crosby, he might tell you that he likes his gold medals better than his Stanley Cups. So maybe I'm wrong about that. But there's something to be said for both, right? Like, Connor McDavid's at a point in his career where he wants to win. That's literally all he wants to do. And much like stars in other sports, the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, they're going to get asked as the years go on and they don't win. That's going to be what they're asked about, and they're going to be forced to think about it a lot. And that's why I go back to the pressure. Vegas, there's a little bit of pressure on them to win, but everybody knows that's not a real hockey market. Like, they have a good, solid, small fan base, But if they get bounced in the first round, like, no one's really going to be talking about it in 2 weeks. They're going to be talking about, you know, the Raiders or, you know, gambling or something else. But yeah, if the Oilers lose in the first round, I promise you, I mean, any town north of Red Deer in that entire province is going to be talking all summer long about how the Oilers didn't get it done. And all of Canada will be continuing to say that about Connor McDavid all summer long. So that's why I go back to that pressure aspect for this Oilers team.
Oh, no, I agree with you. I do think, though, if you think of all these eight teams in the West who are, like, playing hot right now, I think the Knights are the only team that so far, at least this year, we have not seen them play their best hockey, which is scary. And yet again, they had key players out, but, like, if this is the time for them to turn it on, I don't think there's a team that could beat them. Like, if this is when they turn it on.
Now, you raise a good point, and this leads me into our next matchup and our last one in the West. What about the Avs? I mean, I feel like the Avs have gotten, like, zero respect all year long. I personally, you said you don't think Vegas is playing their best hockey of the year. I'm not sure Colorado has. And again, I don't stay up late and watch a lot of West Coast games, but I can tell you that, you know, they want some respect on their name. It was only 2 years ago they won a cup against a Lightning team that was going for a three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, in my opinion, the best defenseman in the world, Cale Makar. They have a amazing top line. And Nate MacKinnon is a Hart Trophy candidate. So I feel like you got to start putting some respect on the name of the Colorado Avalanche. And I guess my question for you is, they're matching up against the Winnipeg Jets. What do you like more, the stinginess and defensive structure led by the defense and Connor Hellebuck of Winnipeg? Or do you like the all-around, high-powered, balanced game of the Colorado Avalanche?
That's tough. I mean, if you think about it, Winnipeg is just similar, you could say, to how the Hurricanes are built in the East, with defense first, offense second. So I personally think that the Avs have the better shot, just because every time I've seen Winnipeg make the playoffs, I have not seen them meet my expectations every time I've tried to pick them. So, unfortunately, until they prove me wrong, I hope they prove me wrong, I'm going to go with the Avs on this one. I just, like you said, Nathan MacKinnon is just playing out of this world this year. He is that team. And for them to just go and for him to just dominate this year is just amazing to see, and surpass Connor McDavid. Huge step for him. So I'm proud of him for that. Like I said, it's going to come down to goaltending in that matchup too. Like, Colorado's got a hot goaltender as well. Winnipeg probably has the better hot goaltender, but I don't know if they can compete with the firepower unless they're able to shut down. If they're able to take MacKinnon out of the game, like, shut him down, then they have a shot at winning. But if they can't and let him skate all over, it's over.
Now, I mean, I'm not a huge Georgiev guy. I think he's okay. I think he's solid. He's not better than Hellebuck, you know, and as much as goaltenders matter, I mean, Colorado won a cup with Darcy Kemper, who's not, you know, beating down the door to win a Vezina, you know what I mean? Like, they can win without their goalie being amazing. They can win with solid goaltending. You know, I give the edge to Winnipeg in that regard. I think Hellebuck has the ability. He has that killer instinct. He did it at Lowell. He did it, you know, in his early career. He's solid. But they call MacKinnon going to be the MVP, probably. Could be Kucherov, but they have him as their MVP favorite for a reason. That's because he's so valuable to that team. And they are so strong when he's playing well. And he's a top three player in the world. And they've won a cup. I think they're hungry. I think they feel like they underachieved last year. I believe, what was it, the first round or second round they lost in?
Seattle.
Yeah, I like Colorado in that series. I think they're gonna be on the road, though, right? They're gonna be the three. So that might have something to do with it. But all in all, I think the West is, you mentioned it, you thought it was more competitive. As we transition to talk about the East here, I think the East is, and let's start with your Metro Division. You know, you tend to know more about this Metro Division being a Devils fan. New York Rangers, second half team, came on strong, really from February onward. They didn't play amazing in January, but if I remember correctly, but basically from February onward, they've been the best team in the league. Points-wise, they win the President's Trophy. They have this amazing top line. They have this two-headed monster now with Jonathan Quick finding Ponce de Leon's fountain of youth. What are your thoughts on the New York Rangers and their sneaky hard matchup against an upstart Capitals team?
I think, to be honest, I think it's kind of a cakewalk for them to start round one. I think they're a sneaky Washington team, but I just, watching the Rangers all year, I hate the Rangers, I hate to watch them, but like,
yeah,
they're so good this year. Just the way they're built together, I think it's an easy win for them. Not going to say they're going to sweep them, but like, they should beat them hands down at least in five games. Like, I just think they're just too dominant, especially with, I'm not saying they're super young, super fast, but they just got everything, every position from your beefy guys you need to fight up, build up the energy, to scoring, to solid defensive players. Like, I don't know how you stop their front four defensively. I don't think Washington has anything to really put up much.
No, I mean, John Carlson's offense first. So yeah, or at least to me, he is.
So like I said, easy matchup to at least start for them. I think it's just an easy cakewalk, unfortunately.
Wow. So I think we heard the term cakewalk twice. That sounds a lot like what people said about the Boston Bruins against the Florida Panthers last year.
They said about the Rangers Devils last year game series.
Hey, all right. Devil, I've learned that the Devils fans, like you, they're, you know, their favorite, their middle name this season was last year.
Yeah.
And it was ours too. The Bruins fans, we were saying, oh, well, last year. Last year, I thought the Rangers were going to win the Stanley Cup, okay? Maybe I was Mr. Last Year as well. But let me tell you here. I'm with you. I think the Rangers are going to win the series. I do think it's a sneaky hard matchup, and here's why. The Capitals have been playing like playoff hockey for like 2 weeks. They came out of that wild card race. You know, Pittsburgh was nipping at their heels. The Bruins essentially eliminated Pittsburgh on Saturday afternoon. It became very hard for Pittsburgh to make the playoffs after that. But then, you know, they beat the Bruins on Monday night. And then they beat the Flyers last night in a game they had to win. And the Capitals, they're not going to just roll over. So this idea that it's like a sweep or a gentleman's sweep, I would say the Rangers probably win in six or even seven, honestly. And it's not because I think New York's a superb, more talented team. No question about it. Everything you mentioned is true. But Washington, they've been essentially playing like winner-go-home hockey, as I mentioned, for weeks. And, you know, their goaltending's, you know, doesn't inspire a ton of confidence. You know, they do have Kemper, who has won a cup, but it's really been Lindgren, who has been amazing. You know, their penalty kill's been decent. And so I think Washington, with Ovechkin, who I haven't even mentioned, TJ Oshie, people who have won before, you know, they're going to be a tough out. And so I don't think New York should take them lightly, because this team has shown that when their back's up against the wall, they play well. But I'm with you. I think New York still wins the series. Now, what about the Hurricanes and Islanders? Now, in real life, Hurricanes tend to make Islanders flee and run away. But I don't think the Islanders are going to lay down either. What do you think about this matchup?
No, I think this is a better, I think better matchup compared to the two Metropolitan. If you're about to pick one, I'm picking this one as the more competitive one, just because I do think the Islanders have a good chance, especially with how goaltending has been playing. The key question is going to be, can the Islanders keep up with the pace of Carolina? What I mean by that is Carolina is a defense heavy first, break into the offense, fast pace, fast breaks, odd man rushes off of their defense. I don't know if the Islanders can compete with that, is my concern. Not saying it's not going to be a competitive series, but that's why I see their weakness in. But also, like we talked about, if you're talking about one of the older teams, that would also be an older team with Washington in this division. So I don't know if they're able to compete with that defensive speed of Carolina.
Right. I think Carolina, they were my preseason Stanley Cup pick. I'm going to stick with them. We'll get to that maybe on another episode. We're running out of time for tonight. I don't want to get too hard-o into my picks. But I do have Carolina winning this series as well. You know, they're obviously the more talented team on paper. They have a better record. They had more points. They were more consistent, all the whole nine yards. But what New York had, what the Islanders have, is, again, much like the Capitals, sort of a sneakiness to them. They'll sneak up on you, right? Like, their Sebastian Aho isn't as good as Carolina's Sebastian Aho, but they still got Bo Horvat. They still got Brock Nelson. They have guys from those teams that made it to the conference finals left on this team still, right? Cizikas is still there. Kyle Palmieri, as you know, he's still there. Cal Clutterbuck on their fourth line. Like, they still got Adam Pellick, and I'm looking around at the rest of their roster. I mean, there's some holdovers, and more importantly for them, they have a goalie who can steal games. You know, Patrick Roy has been very keen on his favor of Semyon Varlamov, who just a few short years ago had a Vezina-type season. So, you know, the Islanders aren't meant to be taken lightly. I think Carolina wins this in six. Everything you pointed about Carolina, well, that's hard to say. It's true. And their acquisition of Gensel has made them a stronger team, made them a deeper team. And I'd be hard pressed to argue with you on any of your points. I think the Hurricanes grab this series in six. We'll see how strong Anderson is it Kachikov or whatever his name is? Mm-hmm. I forget his name. Or whoever they decide to go with. It seems like it looks like it's right now they have Spencer Martin. Is there an injury I don't know about?
For who?
For Carolina? According to the depth chart, I'm just looking at Kachikov is on the depth chart. Well, what's going on with Freddie Anderson?
Yeah,
he might be injured.
I'm not sure. I'm not getting any updates.
I think he might be injured. If Brody's listening, he's probably yelling at us. Looks like he dealt with an injury earlier in the season.
Maybe he's just been a long-term IR?
He had this deep vein thrombosis. Jeez, crow.
Yeah, he's only played 16 games.
So, yeah, looks like they're going to go with Spencer Martin or Kachikov. So, I guess that would be your question mark with the Hurricanes, but I still like him in this series. All right.
Sick.
Because we're running short on time here, let's get to the Atlantic. And let's start with the Battle of Florida. All right. Okay. This is going to be a fun one. These two teams, I love it whenever you get an interstate rivalry like that, or interstate rivalry like this. I loved when Calgary played Edmonton, or when Pittsburgh plays Philly, or any of these other situations that happen in the NHL. I enjoy it. What is interesting to me is that the tide in recent years has turned. It used to be that the Lightning were the big brother in the state. Right, they win their cups. They've had this long tenure of success. Steven Stamkos is one of the best in the league. Now it seems like people are looking over at the Florida Panthers, and they're the ones that are expected to win. Won the conference last year. had that amazing run where they beat the Bruins and the Leafs and the Hurricanes along the way. And they've got Matt Tkachuk and they've got Verhaeghe and Sam Bennett and all these guys that sort of just grind your gears, a lot like what Tampa used to do and what Tampa still can do. The difference is Tampa has no pressure right now and Florida has all the pressure. Maybe Tampa doesn't have no pressure, but it seems like the hockey world is really high on Florida in the recent seasons, despite Florida's really shaky end to the year. I mean, they came on strong to grab the division back from Boston, but you know, there was a point where they had the division under wraps and it didn't even need to be close. But I guess my question for you is, in the Battle of Florida, who do you like, the team that everyone thinks is now the big brother or the team that is the one that has actually won championships?
To be honest, I am a big fan of going with my Florida Panthers here. And this one, I think the new big brother, I think, is coming into town and we're really starting to see it. Right now, I would say they also have one of the hottest two goaltending duos also going as well. They have the second best goals allowed, but we can throw all the stats out when it comes to playoff time. When it comes to experience, Tampa has it. But I think last year we saw them basically for the Panthers be like sharks. You smell blood in the water. They just went full bore and attack it. And they never let it off the gas pedal at all. And I think for me, that's the reason why I can see them. They've also played phenomenal this year. So I think they're the better team right now to go into the playoffs over Tampa to take this round one.
How many games do you think will go?
I think this series should go to 6 or 7.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think just because of the familiarity and the fact that Tampa still has, look, MVP candidate Kucherov, Victor Hedman. I mean, Brayden Point, Vasilevsky. I mean, they still have names. But I'm really torn on this series. All right. And look, getting the Bruins, as a Bruins fan, I didn't know who I would rather the Bruins play, Toronto or Tampa. Either way, I guess it would make a difference because if, you know, if they move on, then they either get, and Florida moves on, then you either get Florida at home or away or whatever. But with, I guess I'll take Florida in this series just because it feels like nature is pointing us toward a Florida-Boston rematch. But I talk about this rematch, the Bruins have to get by Toronto. And, you know, in other years, I would say, oh, well, of course they're going to get by Toronto. But
I don't know. Last night wasn't impressive.
Okay, yeah. So here's the deal. This is what always happens with the Boston Bruins, and we're running really short on time, but I'm going to squeeze this in. All right. Everybody always, like, overreacts, both national and local people, to whatever just happened with the Boston Bruins. It's crazy. The hockey world, like, will overreact to everything. Everything the Bruins do is front page news. And look, to be fair, it happens with the Maple Leafs, the Canadiens, the Blackhawks, other original six teams, the Rangers, you know, other teams that have a lot of, you know, media coverage. They'll overreact everything. Is it true that the Bruins have not played great? Sure, they lost 3 out of 4 to finish the year, and they boggled the division over back to Florida after having it under wraps and beating Florida, you know, 10 days ago. But this is the big but, all right? I am not as concerned about the Bruins because I have history. And look, Will last year Highland, I'll tell you, I would much rather be the team that people have a few question marks about than be the team that everyone's saying, oh, they're going to be like, it's going to be a cakewalk against the Maple Leafs. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. I don't want to be that overconfident team because there were a lot of Bruins fans a year ago that were like, oh, they'll win in 5 against Florida. They'll win in 4, 6 at the worst. Then they blew a 3-1 lead. So as it pertains to this Leafs series, I'm glad they have the home field ice or home ice against the Maple Leafs. But as far as the series is concerned, they're 4-0 against the Leafs and the Florida Panthers all year. I think that's been the one thing that's been lost in the national conversation about the Bruins is that they've done really well against good teams. Do they lose an occasional home game to the Ottawa Senators or the Calgary Flames or somebody like that? Yeah. But do they beat the good teams when it matters in divisional matchups? Yeah. That's why they are in the place that they're in. If not, they'd be down with the Islanders or the Sabres or the Senators or the Red Wings and be aching for a playoff spot, and that's not what they are. So who do I like in the series, Kyle? In this particular series, call me a sucker for history, but I'll go Bruins in seven. And the reason why is the Bruins are going to screw around with their goaltending. I know they're going to do it. If I were the Bruins, despite my biases against Jeremy Swayman, I start Swayman in game one. They're going to start Allmark in game one because they're afraid of how Swayman has looked in the last 8 weeks or whatever. But I'll tell you, Swayman is 3-0-0 against the Leafs this year with four total goals against. He's let up four goals in three games against the Leafs. He's also unbeaten against them dating back to 2022. So it's been like 2 years since he lost to the Maple Leafs. I would go Swayman in game one, and then I'd go Allmark game two. I'll give you the last word, and then we really got to speed it. Really got to let it go.
I mean, it's a tough one. I mean, I'll throw all the stats. Like you said, when it comes to playoff time, you can throw all the stats out the window.
Throw them all out the window.
When it comes time. I agree. I do think the Bruins have this. However, my only concern for the Bruins, at least the games I've watched, at least gone to, my only concern for them is if they play, not down to the opponent's level because the Maple Leafs are already up there, is if they fall behind by two or more goals late in games or just don't bring the effort to start the game and let the team, like I just said, jump out to a big advantage. I don't think they have the capacity to come back from like a two-goal game. I'm not saying a one-goal game. I'm thinking a two or more plus goal game. I don't think they have the power to do that, to play from behind by that big of a gap. So they have to get out early with the lead or keep it neck and neck, if that makes sense. I do trust their goaltending. It's definitely much better than Toronto's. Toronto does have the better, I'd say, the better firepower out of the two teams, but I just don't think the Maple Leafs, their issue right now is hugely goaltending. So I don't think they were going to be able, like I said, I think they're going to go six games. Bruins will have it. Like I said, the only downfall I would see is the Bruins just start out the gate slow and let Toronto take a two-plus goal advantage. It's the only way I can see them losing the series.
Right. The valid criticism about the Bruins in the last 2 weeks, you know, because every team is streaky. Because yeah. People will point out that the Bruins lost three out of Florida in the year, but they won't point out that before that they were playing, I think they played like nine games in a row against playoff teams and won yeah. like seven of them. All right. So, or something like that. But the one valid criticism of the Bruins is that their offense has dried up. I mean, they've scored one goal last night, one goal the night before in Washington, but then they'll randomly pop six on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right. So, I don't have a solid answer for you about what the offense is going to look like. I feel like Jim Montgomery's, he's going to screw around with the goalies. He's going to try and start Allmark, but he's also going to screw around with the power play. And, mm-hmm. you know, some of the screwing around with the lines hurt the Bruins last year against Florida. So you're right. If the Bruins don't have the offense going for them, then I don't like them in a hole. But what I've found about this Bruins team this year is they will compete in games against good teams. Usually the teams where they, or the games where they get blown out and it's like 5-2 or whatever, they're against teams that aren't in the playoffs right now, like Detroit or I think they lost to the Blue Jackets once pretty badly. They had a couple bad losses to the Islanders or the Flyers. Those games, those wet fart games where they don't know what they're doing, you're not going to get a lot of those in the playoffs from the Bruins, I don't think. They're going to lose, in my opinion. It's going to be because they don't get enough offense and they lose like 2-1. That, in my opinion, that's where I agree with you. I don't like them falling behind because I don't like their offensive skill capability outside Pasternak and, you know, Marchand, McAvoy. I mean, you don't really know. So I still think the Bruins get the series in seven. I give them the edge in goaltending as long as they do that well. I give them the edge on defense. Obviously, Toronto's a more powerful offensive team. But that's where I stand. That's where I stand with this series. I wish I had more for you, but we're running out of time, and I could go on for 20 minutes. But I'll give you the last word again on the whole playoffs. Any dark horse picks before we sign off? Or any predictions? Doesn't have to be who's going to win, but like prediction-wise.
I mean, I'm sticking with them. I started the year with. I'm sticking with my Vegas Knights here. I'm going to ride or die all the way to the Knights. The Knights go back and repeat. I think they'd probably be the most underrated team in the last few years to be Stanley Cup champions and not be favored for next year and win it all again.
All right. I too am going to stick with my guns. I'll go Carolina Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup. I think they'll figure it out in goal, much like Vegas did last year. And I'll throw my hot take out there. Conn Smythe winner, Sebastian Aho, with, let's see, he's going to need to play at least 16 games. So, say they play 28 games. I say he has 25 points in 28 games, and that wins him the Conn Smythe. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of I'm Man Rush. We'll check back in after round one. Hopefully, I'm not in tears, or else the hockey nation in Ontario will be pointing and laughing at us for a whole summer. But until then, I hope you enjoy the start of the playoffs. You can follow us on social. You can also like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, that is Kyle Diesel. I'm Will Hyland, and you have been listening to On Man Rush. If you liked this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite provider, including Spotify, Apple, Google, and Stitcher. Be sure to also check us out 2 times a week on those platforms, on Monday and on Thursday. All of the Sportland USA programs are independent, and the opinions expressed in them do not reflect those of any other company, outlet, person, or entity.